What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Johnny Bubble Show. I know it's been a minute since I released an episode, but today is going to be a good one. I have the VP of Operations in the building, Mr. Josh Montalban. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I know I've asked you previously before recording if this is your first time. You said, yeah, don't be nervous. I'm more nervous than you, to be honest with you. So we're going to get it cracking. If you don't mind just telling the listeners who you are, what you do, and just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll take it back to your origin story.
Okay, yeah. So, as Johnny said, VP of Operations for New Ridge Education. I've got three young kids, married, I'm a licensed attorney. I was a litigator before I started working for New Ridge Education, so this is quite a change from what I used to do. Currently, I oversee human resources and the TA team, the PMO, so project management office, and then I used to be over finance, but we've got a VP of finance, and then I also kind of handle all the attorney kind of questions that come our way or work with outside counsel. Pretty much anything that doesn't fall into sales or marketing or community pretty much just comes my way. Because people don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So like, hey, just give it to Josh and he'll figure it out. And so that's kind of my role.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big task there. It sounded like you almost do everything here, or you're in charge of everything here. And then you wanted to take out marketing, which at some point, did you oversee marketing?
When we started, there wasn't like a marketing department. So
got it.
Nick was really good at marketing. He helped found the company with Josiah. But I would turn on the ads and turn
got
them off.
Yep,
and
yep.
So I did marketing
for
a short time. And then eventually we hired a marketing person to
do it. Awesome. Well, we'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's take it back to your origin story. Like, where are you from? Are you originally from Arizona? Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Sure.
And how it was like growing up life.
So I grew up in North Phoenix. I have two older sisters, and my parents moved here when I was less than a year old from Florida. I went to Shadow Mountain High School and Shea Middle School. After graduating high school, went to community college for 2 years and then went to ASU. Graduated ASU, and then I moved away for a while to California and Washington, D.C., and then moved back to go to law school. So I finished ASU in 2003 and then took basically 10 years off of school and did law school 10 years later and started in 2013. So
what did you originally go to ASU for?
Business.
Just business?
Did you know what you wanted to do? I've always been interested in business, either owning a business or working in a business, and so I got a business degree, and then I ended up moving from here to go to California to go to this school that was at a church, and so it was like a school ministry where you learn how to like preach and you learn about God and all that stuff, and so. I felt like I was supposed to do that, so I did that and then ended up staying in California for, almost 7 years and then moving back to Arizona to go to law school. So, I pretty much always had a good relationship with my parents and my siblings, and so when I was contemplating going to law school, my parents were like, hey, why don't you, if you go to school in Arizona, you can live with us. Like, we're not going to charge you rent or anything because we know, like, law school's, a big deal. And
right.
When you're in law school, you can't really work. And so you just are taking out student loans. And so I was very fortunate that my parents were like, hey. So I was, like, one of the many people who kind of boomerang. You, go out on your own, and then you end up coming back to your parents. But it was only for a short time because then after – basically, I was graduating. I got married about the same time as I walked for graduation, and then I immediately started studying for the bar exam. So it was all kind of, quick succession.
Now, back in 03 or before that, were you working and going to school at the same time? Or, what has, been your career path?
Sure.
While doing that, because it sounded like you did, there was a little gap there from like 03 and then gap 2013, went back to law school, you know, and then you did say that you went to school. Were you trying to be a pastor at that point, which we'll get into, but like take us back a little bit. Like what was like your first job? What was your career path? And you know, what did that look like for you?
So my first job, I was probably 12 or 13, and my mom knew a guy that she used to work with who started a landscaping company. So over this one summer, I went to work with him a few times, and I would like mow the yard or whatever he had me doing while he did other like yard work. And so that was like my first like job. After that, I got a job working for McDonald's when I was 15, and ended up working there for, I don't know, like a year and a half or 2 years. And so like I did drive through and all that. And then I would also cook, and I was a cook for McDonald's for a little while. And then, after that, I went and worked at Red Lobster. I worked in the kitchen. And I was also a busser. And then when I turned 18, I went and got a job as a valet at, the Ritz-Carlton in Phoenix. And so I worked that job, from 18 till I moved when I was like 22 or 23. And so I worked the front drive. So I was a valet, and then I was a doorman and a bellman. And then I had transitioned to work at the front desk, cause I was thinking I would want to move up in the hotel industry and become like a rooms exec. So they're kind of like the second one in charge of the hotel outside like the general manager.
Right.
But they would be in charge of like everything on the room side. So guest services, the front desk, housekeeping. So that was kind of the path that I was thinking I would go down. And then in 2006, I felt like, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to go to this school of ministry. And so I, you know, decided to go like a few weeks before it started. I applied, I got interviewed, they, you know, accepted me. So I basically packed up my truck and moved to California. Didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Started school like the next week. And I ended up working at Target like overnight at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was not getting much sleep. And so I ended up quitting Target. I got a job at Olive Garden, which was also owned by the same people who own Red Lobster. And so I went in as a busser, was bussing tables, and then eventually I moved up to being a server and a trainer, a bartender, and then at the time they called it like a service assistant, so you're kind of like an assistant manager. So I ended up working there pretty much the whole time I was in California. And there was a piece in there where I had moved to Washington, D.C., and I worked on Capitol Hill as an intern for a congressman's office. So I was giving tours of the Capitol. I was responding to people who would write in to the congressman who were from his district. I would answer the phone, just whatever random things that the interns do.
Yeah. Now, were you still in this school of like the ministry while you were still?
So I had finished the school because it was, they had 1 year and then you could go to the second year and then they had a third year and that was more like an internship. So I did an internship for the church. And then through that, I had met the mayor of Fresno and went and did an internship in the mayor's office. And it was like the summer of 2009. And so the two things I worked on was they were trying to rehouse homeless population, because Fresno had one of like the highest levels of poverty of like post Katrina of like anywhere in the country, and you know they had a lot of like homeless population, so they were trying to rehouse them, and then they're also doing like neighborhood revitalization, you know, like areas that were kind of blighted and you know just kind of downtrodden. They were trying to invest to build those areas back up, you know, to improve like the community. So
got it.
Those were the couple things that I worked on there. So then, so that was like summer 2009. And then I ended up, in 2000 and I think it was like the next year I went to DC and worked in DC. So I worked at a hotel at the,
what made you go to DC?
I got an internship on – so I wanted to get into politics. So the two things that I've always been interested in is business and politics. And
got it.
So that's why I went to law school. And so I went and
– So you went from ministry intern to working for the – or internship in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
Something caught your attention in D.C. And so then you left. You packed it up.
Yep. Went to D.C. And was there for not quite a year. It was about 9 or 10 months. And so I worked on the – so initially they didn't pay me as an intern, you know, because what most interns, what they do is they work, especially if they're already, like, graduated. Then they work for free to try to get a job on Capitol Hill,
right.
Especially when there's – you know, when there's an election and then, you know, the number of members, you know, either if your party, you know, increases and there's more opportunity for you to get a job. Now, if
right.
your party decreases, then there's potentially less opportunity to get a job because some Congress people, if you work for on one side of the aisle, they won't hire you in their office if they're on the other side of the aisle.
I've never even thought of that.
So there's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So. And so, I was only there for a short time, but I also worked at the Willard Intercontinental Hotel, which is right by, the White House. And so I was a bartender there and stuff. And then, so I was there and then, I feel like I should move back to California. That's where my friends were. And so in like April or May, I moved back, and then I was there, and then I decided to push forward with trying to go to law school, and so then that's how I ended up back here.
So that pivot of law, because politics, business, then you have law. I guess you can say law fits in both because you can own a law firm. It's also a lot of politics in it, but do you remember that time of, like, when you're like, you know what, I think a lawyer's – lawyer's my next move.
Yeah, I think looking at, you know, how many people who are in politics have law degrees. You know, even when I was an undergrad, I had thought, oh, maybe I'd go to law school. But, you know, you don't – my recommendation is don't follow what I did. It's kind of one of those things like don't do as I say, not as I did.
Right.
In that I – so they've done studies and they found the people who actually perform the best in business, like their GPAs are like C, B average, not like straight A's. And so I kind of used the motto like C's get degrees.
Yeah.
So when I graduated, it was like a 2.57 GPA. So it was like nothing to write home about. It was like, so when I tried to go to law school cares about your grades. And so like, you know, I did a lot of time studying for the LSAT and writing my letter and, you know, all that stuff. And so, like, even when I was an undergrad, I thought, you know, law school may be something. You know, there's no other really lawyers in my family or anything. And so I think I was the first to get an advanced degree, but I could be wrong. My sisters have graduated and stuff too. And so.
So then what in politics, like there had to have been like a goal that you wanted to achieve. Did you want to be like a mayor, a governor? Like, did you want to run for president sometime? Like, you don't just go like, yeah, I want to go into politics. I'm going to intern. And then like, I'm going to be a lawyer because it helps me in politics without having like some sort of vision of like where you wanted to end up. So what was that?
Well, really the, sorry, I used to, when I was a lot younger in my 20s, I would.
By the way, he says that, guys, and he looks like he's in his mid-20s, so don't let him fool you.
Yes, I may look that way, but I am not. At some point, I'll probably run for elected office. I don't know when or any of those things, but I had thought, like, you know, senator or congressman, even, like, president, which I know.
I think you have to be a little older to run for president, but
you only have to be a certain age. You only have to be 35.
Oh, is it 35? I thought it was older.
Yeah, I think it's 30 to be a senator, 35 to be president.
Got it.
Yeah.
Shows you how much I know about the presidential election stuff.
Anyway, but with that, like, my natural personality is probably not fully designed to be president, because I'm not always out there like smiling and shaking everybody's hand and
right.
hugging babies and like taking pictures. And so, so that's probably actually not the path that I will pursue.
I'm sure you could learn that though. Like, well, you I can. See you interact in the office and you're pretty good with a lot of people. And then sometimes you are reserved. This is going to be our longest conversation we have today, by the way, for example.
Yes, probably. So, yes. And then I also had kids. And then it's like, do I want to subject them to mm-hmm. whatever the media or the opposing, you know,
party,
whatever
yeah.
you're running against? Like, are they going to treat your family with respect, or are they going to attack your kid even though the kid's like 7 years old or whatever? Like, so there's those things that come into account that when I was in my mid to later 20s, one, I wasn't sure if I was actually going to get married, because I was like I try not to be selfish, but like, really, if you decide to get married, like, you really, like the Bible says, you have to die to yourself. Like, you cannot like take care of your family and be selfish, because being selfish is the opposite of taking care of your family. And so part of me was like, I don't know if I'll get married, because like, not that there's just so many things I want to do and so many desires that I want to like see fulfilled. And, you know, that like, I don't know if it like actually like meshes with the family, because, you know, kids are really great, but they also absorb a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy. And so it's not like, you know, when you have a kid, you got to take care of it, because, you know, a newborn baby can't do anything.
Right.
Even a 2 or 3 year old, they can do some stuff. And most, you know, sometimes what they do is not what you want them to do, right? Exactly. Making a mess, or they're like,
they so, do the opposite of what you want them to do.
Or they do the opposite sure. of what you want yeah. them to do. Exactly. So, and so, for a while, I was like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to get married or not. And so now that I am married, I do have kids, you know, I think probably politics is still back there. I'm still interested, still, you know.
Still follow up with it. You're still in it
all yeah, the time. Not, like, not as much as I used to be, because, one, I, you know, I can't read as much of, like, what's going on in the world. You know, when it's bedtime for the kids, it's, you know, good night moon, and, you know, the tractor yeah. goes to sleep, or
yeah
Aesop's Fables or whatever. And and so like, I don't have time to just read news articles and what's the latest bill that they're trying to pass and all this stuff. And so part of it, you do get a little less connected. And, you know, I mean, I do come to the office early, I do work quite a bit, and so, you know, you kind of have to be aware of how much time you have and where you can invest that time. Because if I get home and then I'm just on my phone seeing all the latest political updates, but I'm not spending time with the kids or
yeah, you gotta my wife, give and take. Something's and losing. Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I'm not taking care of them, so I can just hear what some talking head wants to tell me about this bill versus just reading the bill myself, you know? And yeah. So, I think as the kids get older and stuff like that, that, I have thought, like, oh, maybe I should run for, like, mayor of Gilbert, because the current mayor of Gilbert is
not it.
I don't think is doing that great of a job.
Got it. My brother lives in Gilbert, and he really likes it out there. And anytime I go to the East Valley, he's always like, yo, move out here. And it is really nice. I do like it out there. Don't know what's going on within the city, because I am in the west side and in Goodyear. So for me, the city council is actually doing a really great job out there, outside of warehouses popping up everywhere now out there. But yeah, I do like the East Valley. So if my wife and I ever decided to move and stay in Arizona, probably be Gilbert, Chandler, Gilbert area. But outside of that, let's take it back a little bit, because seems like maybe in the future you might run for something. And I hope you do continue to chase that, though, because that is exciting. That's something new. Didn't even know that was something you were interested in. So you went to law school.
Yeah.
You graduated. And what happened after that?
So when I graduated, you have to sit down and you got to study for the bar exam. So the bar exam is what you get from your state to be licensed to say, hey, I can practice law. So you have to graduate law school and then take this exam, which is like over 2 days or whatever. So I studied for that. At the time, I was working as a law clerk for the county attorney's office. So what I was doing is research and writing and stuff like that. So what attorneys would send down projects for us, and they would, you know, give us the facts of the case, and then they would need us to go research out case law related to whatever it is, like a traffic stop or a stop and frisk or whatever like their facts were, so that we can write like a response to a motion or a filing from like a defense attorney on what they're alleging. And so we'd have to respond to that. And so I did that while I was studying for the bar, and then took the bar and kept working there. I had also applied to the county attorney's office to be a prosecutor, and interviewed there. And then I interviewed with the Arizona Attorney General's office. And ended up getting a job with the Arizona Attorney General's office. So I worked in child dependency cases for just over 2 years. So I was in the courtroom several times a week litigating child dependency cases. So kids who are abused or neglected. So I represent like the Department of Child Safety against the parents. There were civil cases, they weren't criminal. Now, there could be a criminal element to it, but that was more the prosecutor side. And so the attorney general's office wasn't involved in the actual prosecuting of, like, the criminal side. And so I did that for about 2 years, and then I went to work for PayPal as a law enforcement liaison. So basically, that position, we would receive, like, records requests and subpoenas from law enforcement agencies, attorneys, and so on PayPal user accounts. And so we'd have to review what they were requesting and make sure that like the subpoena was valid or whatever the case was, and then run the reports to send to them to give them whatever records that they were looking for. And so we got records requests from like all over the world. It wasn't just the U.S., but, you know, places in Europe and
for like money fraud stuff and like sending money and charges and all that funny stuff.
All that stuff. And then so I was there for a while, and then during that time I think I was at the AG's office, maybe I'd met Josiah, and actually Lisa, my wife, met him and his wife first, because we were running, Lisa was over kind of the young adult ministry at the church, and so I was helping her run that. And so she met them, and she's like, oh, hey, there's this guy you should meet. And so we went out to dinner, got to hang out with them and get to know them. And so Josiah and
I... Oh, so you guys met through church, not work, got it.
Yep, and so then Josiah and I, we would meet up on Saturdays at Starbucks, and he told me, you know, he was going to launch this course. And, you know, he would meet me in the morning at like 7 or 8 o'clock. And then he would go from there and with his laptop, and then go record the course content for Astro Flipping. And so, like, he did this over several weeks. And so he's like, hey, you know, do you want to come and, you know, try to do some sales? Or so I was like, sure. And so in November, when they launched, it was November 23rd, 2018, day after Thanksgiving, I went to the office that he was working out of and listened to his side of the calls and listened to some sales training. And then I took a call, and then the next day I went back into the office on the Saturday, and he was taking some calls. So then I took another call or two, I started taking calls consistently starting on like that Monday. So I'd leave PayPal and then go and take sales calls for a few hours.
Did you leave PayPal like pretty like immediately, or like were you doing both at a period of time?
Yeah, I was doing both. And so I would leave PayPal at like 3 o'clock, 3:15, because I get there early. I get there by like 6. I leave PayPal early in the afternoon, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I drive down to the office. I take sales calls from the office. And so I did this for end of November through like mid January. And then I decided to leave PayPal about mid-January and go to New Reach full-time. And so
what made you want to make that initial jump? Like, what interests you about, like, hey, you want to do sales? And you're like, because everything you've told me so far didn't sound like you've done sales outside of maybe working at a restaurant and if you were a server getting people's order. But, like, outside of that, everything you've told me so far, there's no sales related, like, at all.
Yep.
So
that is true.
You just, for one, hold on. For one, you just told me pretty much not a people person. Don't really have conversations with people. You can't kiss babies and stuff. Then you go into sales, which is all having relationships, being personable, and buttering up a consumer. So where does, like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to help Josiah out and hop into sales.
I think there's a couple things. One, my natural tendency isn't to do those things, but I can do those things. Like, sometimes I can be the life of the party, but I'm not always the life of the party.
Right.
Where some people are always the life of the party, and they're like a party amongst themselves. So I can do those things. I know I can. I didn't say this either. So Lisa and I, we had like $150,000 in student loan debt. She had like 20 to 30,000, and then the rest was mine because law school is way more. Now, I didn't have any debt from undergrad, which hers was from undergrad, but anyway, that's here or there. When I had taken the bar, but I hadn't gotten a job yet, we decided, hey, we want to get out of debt. So we were like, read Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Her parents had gone through it before. Like, I knew some of the principles because my parents kind of went through it too. And so we decided, hey, we want to get out of debt, like, as much as we can, as quick as we can. Because at, you know, $150,000, they were basically making a mortgage payment and student loan payments every month. It was like the minimum payment was like $1,800 or $1,900, you know. And just so you know, as I know everybody thinks, like, oh, you're an attorney, so you're making a lot of money. When you work for the government, you don't get paid a lot of money. So, like, it was not six figures. Like, when I work for the AG's office, I got paid $60,000 a year. Now, it's not a horrible salary by any means. It's like a pretty good salary. But if you have an advanced degree and it's a law degree, not just some master's degree, $60,000 is not like a big amount of money.
Right.
And so
you're getting paid $60,000, but you're in the hole.
Right. You're in the hole, like
$100,000 or $200,000.
I think our like net worth was negative, yeah. Because like we didn't have a house. Like, we were renting a townhouse from her aunt. The furniture was like her aunt's. And so like we didn't really have much furniture. Like, we had like a hand-me-down TV. Like, we, and so we decided, hey, we're going to get out of debt. So like literally, you know how we celebrated my passing the bar?
How?
We went to In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
Like,
okay.
In-N-Out was like our celebratory thing. Yeah. It was like, hey, like, this is a big deal, but we can't spend $100 on dinner. So we're going to, let's go to In-N-Out to celebrate because it's like
affordable.
It's affordable. And because we're not eating out very much, like it's like a treat. Right.
Yeah.
And so we decided to do that. Right. And so then I worked for the AG's office. We're still trying to get out of debt. Then go to PayPal. Still trying to get out of debt. And then went to come here. And as in sales, we were contractors and I was the first person, like I was the only one who was doing it like more than anybody else. So actually Lisa had encouraged me to like, work full time. She had this dream, like, I don't know, months and months prior of like a spaceship. And she's like, for some reason, I think you're gonna work for like, kind of like space company. Yeah. So it took us a long time, but we're like, first company was Astro Flipping. So we launched Astro Flipping. But we didn't put that together for like months.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Lisa's like, remember when I had that dream and it was blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, that's Astro Flipping. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. So yeah, so we took a gamble and you know, obviously it's worked out. But at least encouraged me to like, hey, like let's try it. I mean, we'll never know what'll happen unless we kind of do it. And so yeah, we took the plunge and I quit the job that had benefits and salary and all that, and went to just commission only. And so that's how we kind of got started. Yeah.
Man, that's so cool. Cause I totally relate to it. You know, I totally relate to like when I left my career originally from In-N-Out, getting paid really well, benefits, everything you can think of. And I left it for a startup company, you know? And I know you said you were employee number one, essentially, here at New Reach Education, started off in sales. How quickly did you transfer or move from, like, sales to, like, something else? Like, when did you guys, I guess, start becoming successful enough to know that, like, either, A, you had to bring on more sales guys, or we have to venture off and do other things in this realm?
Sure. So, yeah, I came on sales. We had hired a couple other sales reps. I had interviewed several. So we had about three sales reps besides me at one time. And then I was a sales manager. And then in May, I kind of became over like the operations manager. And we had lost.
No, this is like May 2019?
May 2019, okay. Yeah. And then we had lost one of the sales reps, you know, you struggled, and so he ended up leaving. But then a short while later, we hired several people that Nick was connected with, who all came from a different sales offer, and so they brought in a lot of sales skill and sales ability. And so we were able to ramp up ads. We brought in probably 8 to 10 like really good salespeople, and then sales really started picking up at that point because they were able to like. You know, there were obviously gaps in my knowledge. You know, I was reading sales books and, you know, trying to help as best I could get the team going. But as we added people who were already pretty talented, they really just helped us scale up and grow. And so so then I was the sales manager and the operations manager until about August or September of 2019. And then we promoted one of the sales reps to being a sales manager, who had shown like a really good work ethic and really good culture and, you know, really like got our vision and stuff. And so we promoted him, and then he helped advance the team, and, he did a lot of stuff to help us grow. And then I just kept getting more and more on kind of the operations side, you know, dealing with finance and, you know, all the other things outside of sales.
Yeah. Now, how was it back in the early days of like NRE? You know, I'm sure you have amazing stories or how the grind was and going from, I don't even know how many sales probably early on, 1 to 10, I'm assuming, per week to growing it to what it is today. Like, what are some fond memories that you can remember early on?
Well, we didn't have our own office space, and so we were kind of sharing with Keighley. And so I, like, bounced around the Keighley office, and then eventually Josiah in the same, like, office place. There was an open thing, so we went in there, and we had two people sharing, like, a big office space, but they were all, like, concrete floors. And so super echoey. It was loud. So we bought like this gray, like dividing thing to hopefully like absorb some of the sound. And at one point it like fell over. And then the guy on the other line was like, are you okay? And the sales rep's like, yep, I'm just a wall fell down. I'm okay. And so then we moved to another office, which had two separate offices and an open area. So we could have like a few sales reps in there. And so we just bounced from office to office. And with each subsequent bounce, the office got a little bit better. A little bit nicer. You know, our third office, you know, I had to paint it. They had painted it this like Merlot purple. And so like, I had to like take these whiteboards off and like paint this whole office. And so like literally I painted an office.
Yeah.
And
which everyone here is asking for something.
Which everybody here wants us to paint, right? Like I new desks and chairs, putting those things together, getting whatever we need.
Yeah, so you were just getting your hands dirty, like early on.
Yeah, basically anything that needed to be done was kind of on me to get it done. So I'd like get the snacks for the office. Like I would stop by the store on my way in and buy snacks for the office, or you know, water or whatever it was. And so, yeah, I mean, it was kind of whatever needed to get done. Josiah, very busy. He was, you know, CEO at Keighley at the time, I think, as well. And so, like, I'm like, can I ask him, hey, can you, like, put together this chair? It's like, it hasn't gotten done, so I'm just going to be the one to do it.
Right.
You know, and so, like.
Yeah, so you took on a lot of hats early on. I mean, early in the conversation, I mean, you still oversee a bunch of departments here, but essentially you just, whatever needs to get done, it's you and a few other people trying to run Astro Philippine. The bare minimal of tables and chairs needed to be put together and snacks having to get picked up. You just did it all.
Yeah.
If you don't mind taking it back a little bit, when you had these conversations with Josiah early on, what was the vision like that sold you on it, right? Like, what are we in the vision today? Like, did we reach it? Are we not there yet? You know, like, what was that like spark for you? Because you have to have some sort of passionate love to be able to say, I'm going to just do whatever it takes, no matter what, to make this thing successful, whether it's building chairs, grabbing snacks, or being on sales calls all day. So, like, unless that's just your natural, who you are, don't want to fail. Like, what is that? Like, what was that spark for you?
I think the initial draw was, like, I wanted to work for a startup or like a company that's trying to grow. And so, you know, just kind of fell in my lap and I didn't know what to expect. You know, you hear about like Silicon Valley startups that get like millions and millions and millions of dollars of investment.
Right.
And like, you know, all their lunches are taken care of and breakfast and they got massage and, it's yeah. But that's not the norm. Like that's a startup for Silicon Valley, but that isn't, most startups don't start there.
Right.
You know, most are kind of bootstrapped and this is definitely bootstrapped. And, you know, obviously Josiah put in a lot of time and effort and money, to build it up. And so when we launched, I don't even know if Josiah had the thought of launching multiple brands or if he thought we would just have Astro Flipping and just build that out. And so I think it was later on that he started developing the vision to launch multiple brands across different industries. And so, you know, as Astro, like I didn't, like all this is probably beyond what I thought like we would get to initially anyway. You know, obviously, as time goes on, your vision kind of changes. You're like, oh, if we launch this brand, then this can happen.
Right.
If we launch three more brands and they're as successful as these two other brands that we already have, then we can do this and we can expand and we can, you know, invest in the employees or whatever it is. And so, so really, my vision was. I have a vision for like myself, but really it was more Josiah is a good leader. He's going in this direction. What can I do to help him do his vision?
Yeah, achieve that goal. Yeah.
You know, and I think different people are wired. Everybody's wired differently. Some people are wired to be in front and vision casting. There's a lot of people who are behind the scenes who are taking that vision and then building it and getting the pieces together to have that vision come to fruition.
Right.
And so probably some of my tendencies are probably a little bit more behind the scenes instead of in the front. Part of it, I think, is kind of how I'm wired, kind of how I grew up.
Yeah.
And it also kind of like, I guess, faith, like part of, you know, what I believe is like, as you said, he came to serve and not be served. And so it's not that, you know, I don't ever let anybody like help me or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not a martyr. Like, right. I'm happy to like give work away. Like, oh, if you want to come help me, please. Like, you could take any of these items off my plate and you can help like move this forward. That'd be great. And then come back when you need help. But like, you know, sometimes like we get our vision by serving somebody else's vision.
Yep.
And so me wanting to start a business or buy a business or whatever, you know, I think part of that came from working in this company and working with Josiah and seeing how he looks for opportunities and how he, you know, I mean, he listens to probably more books than, oh, I don't know anymore, but he used to listen to like books constantly.
Right.
And, you know, he'd get through multiple books a week. And so, you know, part of that is like the more you have coming in, more information, then you can do something with that information to figure out, hey, what if we launch more brands that are not Astro, but like are similar to Astro, or it's a whole different thing, but we can use the same model and just plug in different pieces to that model to make, you know, credit stacking or sub two or whatever. And so for me, part of like me finding my own vision, I mean, I had a vision from, you know, what I wanted to achieve when I was younger. But part of that gets refined and defined more as you get more experience, as you get more interactions and you see kind of how things happen. And so, I think my vision now has obviously been impacted and influenced by what I've seen here and experienced here and seen, you know, how other people like operate and work. And so I think that's good.
Yeah. Would you say that your original vision when you joined and where you are today, did you already surpass your vision or hit your vision, or did it change tremendously to where like it wasn't like a goal to hit here? It was more like like you're climbing this mountain, you know, and you're still climbing. Like, what does that look like for you? Like your initial vision when you joined, when did it change? And then where you are today to where you're looking forward to in the future?
So I talked about how we want to get out of debt, right?
Right.
And so we, you know, worked really hard to get out of debt. And I think we got out of debt just under 4 years after we decided, like after we made the commitment, hey, we want to get out of debt. So we started in 2016. I think we got out of debt. It was at the end of 2019. I think it was like December or January. I think we paid off our last thing, like 2019, early 2020. And so we're like, wow, we did it. Like we got out of debt, right? And so Lisa and I, what we tried to
did do. Did you celebrate with some In-N-Out?
Actually, I think we did.
Yeah.
I, for real. Like we've consistently used In-N-Out as like a celebratory thing.
Right.
Because it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Like, does it matter where your dinner is, or is it really like, hey, we're doing this because of, you know, we want to celebrate this.
Right.
And so I think we actually did.
Got it.
And so.
Sidetrack real quick. You worked in the food industry a lot. Never once did you think In-N-Out?
No. No. And what's funny is I worked at this Olive Garden in California.
Right next to
In-N-Out. And if I would have drove all the way through the parking lot, like all the way to the, it was a very long parking lot, but there was an In-N-Out. And so I probably could have went and worked at that In-N-Out.
Yeah, never once thought.
I never did.
Can you imagine where your trajectory would have been though? Probably a little different.
It would have been different.
All right. Sorry. Off track just because that's so funny how relatable that is. But so your vision.
So the initial vision, hey, we want to get out of debt. Yep. I want to buy like, I like fast cars. So I want to buy like a car. And so we got out of debt.
And then a few months later,
we didn't get back into debt. We paid cash for the car. So I got a Camaro SS. It was a 6-speed, you know, all that stuff.
What year, man?
2014
Camaro SS.
1LE. So
1LE.
1LE, yeah. So I had that for a while, and then we got rid of that, and I ended up getting a Tundra because I was trying to use it as like a write-off.
Right.
But anyway, it's a long story.
Tundras are my favorite truck, by the way. Like, I don't know why, still to this day. Have you seen the new ones with that like bright orange color?
Yes.
It's amazing. Sidetrack. Sorry.
So every year what we try to do is Lisa and I try to sit down and like, hey, like, what do we feel like our goal should be personally or professionally? Like, is, you know, how much money do we want to try to make this year? Or, you know, how do we want to grow, like, with our faith? You know, what friendships do we want? What, you know, how do we want to do this, you know, for the kids, like, coming up with, like, goals and stuff? And so there's been a couple of times at least as we kind of look back at, like, the list that we've created. And a lot of times we've achieved those goals and not even realized that, oh, we wrote this down. And like, well, we passed that one already. Yeah. Well, that's so cool, you know? And so I think sometimes your goals change because your life like changes. So you're like, I have this goal, but then as time goes on and things are changing and
you grow, you mature,
you're like, kids, oh, I'd rather, you know, this is really more the goal than that. And so, we try to do that like every year, like, you know, usually it's around August or September and kind of like be prayerful about, hey, you know, like how much money, you know, do we want to give? How much money can we make? And try to come up with like goals like that. You know, like one of Lisa's goals is, I don't know if it's a goal or like a life goal, but she wants to stay at a hotel that has like, it's an overwater like villa thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you can just like go down in the ocean. Lisa loves the water. And so I'm trying to figure out that, like, is that something we can do this year? Cause then we can mark it off the list.
You know? Yeah.
Her and I both separately wanted to go to Italy. So last year we were able to go to Italy for a week, without the kids, which was nice. So I think, you know, as you grow and you advance in your career, your goals sometimes change. And so I like fast cars and I, you know, I got posters on the wall and stuff of cars.
Yeah. They're like Ferrari posters in tracks here for Formula One.
Yes. And sometimes as you grow in your job, then your like tastes change. Now my tastes, they just got more expensive, even though like, I still like fast cars. Right. But it's like before it was like the, you know, $30,000 car.
Yeah, the Camaro.
But now it's like, well, the Shelby Cobra is like $90,000. It's like, that's a really nice goal. That's a really nice car. It's going to take me longer to get that car.
Right.
Because for me, I'd rather go without the car until I can actually get the car.
Yeah.
You know, now, could I get a less expensive car? Yes. And I've got like probably 25 cars that I would like to own. So then I have to really determine, do I really want this one car or do I just want one of these cars on my list? And, oh, hey, this one's a lot cheaper, so why don't I just get this one now? And so that's kind of how I view it.
Right. So is your goal to ever get a Ferrari? Is that still on the list? Is that do you drive a Ferrari, you know, now? I don't even know what you drive, to be honest with you.
So. No, I just have a four-door sedan. It's a 2016 Lexus GS. Like I bought it like 9-10 months ago, but it had like 40,000 miles. It's got like 50,000 miles on it now, but this is low miles. It's four door. It can fit everybody in it. So he's like, well, now you got the daily driver, so we can, you know, start working towards getting like
real
a fast
dad
car.
Talk right now, by the way. That's so. A real dad mobile. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's. I get the dream and the envision and like GT3 RS up there, like I love cars. I am the same. If there's like a moonshot goal in my life of one car that I could, well, I have my dream car now, but like if there was like a out of this world dream. Right, like no limit. It'd be a Koenigsegg. Like that is like been in love with a Koenigsegg for I don't know, 12 years, 10 years now, and it's one of those like I'll be cool if I even drive one. Moonshot Astro, we're talking out of this world Koenigsegg. would definitely be it.
Yes.
Do you have a dream like Ferrari or anything like that? Or is it your vision changed?
No, this is currently, this is what I want. Like, I always wanted to be a race car driver. And yeah. So I would love to just be able to race cars, like not have to work.
Yeah.
Like, if New Reach Education wants to like sponsor me to like race cars.
Exactly.
Like, I will be the best.
We race need an car NRE driver car out there. What circuit?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Don't be in a
closed
NASCAR,
wheel, yeah. Open wheel, open cockpit. Yeah. I like, you know, whether it's a touring car or a, you know, a formula car.
Did you race anything growing up, like go-karts or anything like that? Or
no, just... not really. So I went to – I was a racing school not this past December because it's now March, but the December before. And then last year I went to Atlanta and drove like a Radical SR1, which is kind of just a purpose-built track car.
Yeah.
It's not street legal. And then when I was like 18 or 19 – I had gone to Bondurant where you could use kind of an open wheel, open cockpit car and drive around Phoenix International Raceway. So I did that, but I never got into go karting or anything like that. I grew up like middle class, so like we had the things that we needed, but racing wasn't like. The things of like, you want to play baseball, you want to play basketball, but like racing was just, it wasn't in the cards.
Got it. So just to ring it back in, you're now VP of operations here at NRE. Started as employee number one, started in sales, built chairs, picked up snacks, painted walls, moved around a lot, built teams. What's next?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I guess kind of my role here is, it's kind of one of those, you know, how you have like a utility player where this person, like they're not the best at this one position, but they're like pretty good at these like five positions. And so you can like move them in and out.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at for New Reach. It's just because I've been around so long, I just know so many random things and why we did certain things, and that I kind of just get plugged in. And so, I'm not sure what the path looks like moving forward. I mean, I like working for New Reach. I like being here. I like the employees, and you know, I think the stuff that we provide is very valuable. Outside of this, I would like to, you know, buy a business or something like that where I'm not the, I just hire the manager or the director to like
you don't
work
run
that
it.
Yeah. And then I just check on them, make sure that they're doing it right, and just have something else going on the side. Because maybe that'll fund my racing career.
Yeah, exactly. So. do you know what those businesses would be if, like, you were to come across, like, what field you would want to go into where you can just invest your money and just not run the daily operations but still have equity in the business and still, you know, collect income that way?
Yeah, I've looked at kind of, like, boring businesses, like plumbing or – some of those like service, home service industries where, you know, regardless if there's a pandemic or a recession, like you always need a
plumber.
There's
always a need, yeah.
Like you can only go so long with a broken toilet or a broken shower. And so, you know, not really a food type franchise. In-N-Out doesn't franchise, so I can't do that. I've been looking at more of those type of like, hey, what's needs that it doesn't matter kind of what's going on in the economy, like, you know, the business is still going to like be needed versus the latest gym that's kind of a fad or the latest food item that's kind of a fad, you know, those kind of things that kind of like come and go, more stuff that's like, yep, you can't train AI to, replace this toilet. So you got to hire somebody to come in and replace the toilet.
Right. Yep. I totally get what you're saying. Well, cool, man. I really appreciate you hopping on, utilizing my time. That this was a LDP time that I had, which for those listening, it's a leadership development program that NRE gives to some of their employees. It's their way of giving back. So I'm in a leadership program. And during this time, I was like, hey, can I film a podcast instead of just like sitting down and for an hour asking you questions? And Josh was open for it. So I do appreciate you hopping on your very first ever podcast. I hope you felt comfortable and great. Just one little nugget piece of advice that you can give to someone that's listening today, that's maybe going through a path and not sure where they want to be, or maybe they do have a vision kind of like you did, but you also take in so many different avenues and then you end up here. What would you say to that person?
Well, it's hard to just give kind of a blanket like advice, sure, 'cause there's so many factors, but you know, I think sometimes you need to kind of focus on where you're at, not worry about where you want to be or worry about where you're not yet, but like, hey, what do you need to get done today to solve today's problems? Once you do that, then you can start advancing, like, okay, how can I solve tomorrow's problems and how can I solve next week's problems? You know, keeping those things kind of in the back of your mind, but like, hey, what do I need to get done today that actually needs to get done today first, and then moving forward from there. I think it's great to dream and have goals, and I talked about, you know, Lisa and I do that stuff. And, you know, reviewing that, you know, is good and it keeps it fresh in your mind. But you can't be so focused on where you want to be in the future that you're not doing the things that you need to do today to actually help you get there. Because if all you think about is the future, but that's not fueling your fire for today to get the things done where you're like, I wish I was further in my career, or I wish I was this, or I wish I had that, then that's not going to advance you. So like, how you advance is you got to do everything today to set yourself up to be successful. So when those opportunities come, that you're ready and you're prepared. I mean, they talk about like, you know, luck being when like opportunity and preparation meet and the door opens, because like if you're prepared and a new opportunity comes, then you can seize that opportunity and move forward. And so, you know, I mean, the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. I mean, we had a few people in an office and now we've got, you know, well over 100 employees and, you know, over $80 million in sales last year. So, and we started with, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars in sales, you know, for the year. So,
yeah. Well, awesome, man. Thank you again for hopping on the Johnny Bubba Show. I really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing some of your story. It was really good for me to kind of hear the similarities we have. And it just reassures me that, like, what I'm doing today, I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be. Right. And it your words right now of just like, stop worrying so much about the future, essentially. It's something that I do a lot. I'm always constantly like, dude, it's not where I wanted to be. You know, 5 years ago, I was not looking at it today. But then if I stop and think, I'm like, I'm so much further than where I thought I would have been 5 years ago. And I don't appreciate those times. And you mentioned it earlier where it's like you accomplished goals that you didn't even realize, you know, and I need to stop and realize like, man, the opportunities that I've been given, I've been blessed. And, you know, God has really put me in a position to where even this right now is like a lot for me, like being able to sit with you, VP of operations of this massive company. Not everyone has opportunities like that. And so I don't take those for granted. So I do appreciate you for hopping on, man. Thank you again for giving me an hour of your time. As Is there anything else you would like to leave the people with, or if you have any social platforms you want them to follow or New Reach Education, feel free to drop it there.
Thanks for coming in. I'm not very active on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram, but like the last post is like, I was studying for the bar exam. Yeah. So that was like 8 years ago. Exactly. So yep. Not very active there.
All right. Well, so, check out New Reach Education, guys.
Yeah, New Reach Education.
You know, Astro Flipping and so many other brands if you guys wanted to learn real estate and so many other things. Well, I'm Johnny Bubbles.
Josh Montevan.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Stay blessed. Stay bubbly. Peace.